basically it's a book that's designed to help members who are struggling with their faith, or to help people who have family or friends that are struggling with their faith. And, you know, faith struggles basically being from stuff that they've encountered often on the internet that's challenged their belief system.
That's so true. Before we started our program today, I told you that I fairly routinely get emails from people who say they have a family member or friend who's struggling with their faith or lost their faith and ask for help. How is this book intended to help someone like that? How do you see this as filling that need?
Well, in a couple of different ways. For somebody that's struggling, I spend the first half of the book talking about general principles and how, as Latter-day Saints, we need to approach issues and approach gospel topics, as well as the scriptures and prophetic announcements and, you know, the scriptures themselves. And if people can apply the principles that I put in the first half of their book to their study of the gospel, many times it takes the edge off of the LDS critical arguments to begin with. The second half of the book, I deal with specific anti-LDS arguments, whether it's a plural marriage or Kinderhook plates or you know, Journal of Discourses, whatever it may be. All the most popular ones I've tried to deal with in specifically in that part of the book.
It's amazing to me how in some areas that aren't so important, you know, maybe politics. I don't know, politics seem to be more and more important to some people, but maybe that's not a good example. But you might have a little crisis of faith or be unhappy with whichever way you happen to be politically, if you're to the right and some people to the right say or do things that, you know, drive you nuts. You know, you don't all of a sudden jettison your political position, or at least most people don't. And if you're on the left and something similar happens, you don't all of a sudden jettison your political position. But somehow when it gets to be something that's really important,
yeah,
if you have just a little shake, people can really be devastated by it, especially if they don't have a source. And so I'm thrilled that you have this book, because it is a source for that. And I don't know, maybe maybe things that aren't so important people can keep an open mind about and just let sit for a while, because they really aren't as important. But well, faith to people, it is something that's important.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people for Latter-day Saints and other people of different religions, many times their faith is part of who they are. It's part of their life. They contribute a lot of time to it. They invest a lot of themselves into it. And so for those people that encounter information that seems to run contradictory to what their beliefs are, it's very painful, and it can collapse their entire belief system. And I see this happen too often, and many times it's just because people have paradigms or worldviews that are a little too rigid, and so when they're confronted with this difficult information, it can shatter it, because they just don't know which way to go, that they don't know how to be flexible with some of their beliefs.
Well, Michael, let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Mm-hmm. These are some of the things that I hear in my emails that just some of them are quite sad, but gosh, there's so much anti-Mormon literature on the internet, or if you don't like that phrase, information critical of the church,
right,
on the internet. Even if only part of it's true, doesn't it mean that there's something wrong with the church?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that that most people that are struggling with it, that's kind of how they feel, is that, well, okay, maybe you've got an answer for this one, but I can pull up a whole bundle of other problems. What I find, though, is that 99% of these issues really don't hinge on any kind of doctrinal topics. It's usually things of history or things they see as conflicting in science. And there are logical answers to all of these. Like I said, especially if we understand that prophets are men, that they're not fax machines from God, and so that they're entitled to their own words, their own opinions, and even scriptures. You know, we know from the Book of Mormon that you know, there's mistakes in the Book of Mormon, and we have to have a worldview that allows a wider understanding of human nature, and with that type of understanding, like I said, almost all of these problems actually go away, and pretty soon we see that it's not this litany of issues, it's being able to understand the gospel from a perspective that incorporates both faith and logical reasoning.
Another comment that I would have is that people need to be logically consistent and not just assume right. The underlying premise.
Yes.
I remember talking to one person a few years ago, and the comment was, but we don't have any documents from the beginning of our church that talk about the first vision or the founding of the church until like decades later. And I said, so what are you now? Just like a genuine, you know, non-denominational Christian, or why? Yeah, kind of. I still believe in Jesus. Okay, so how long was it after Jesus was around till the Gospels were written, and until Paul wrote his letters? You know, like jettison
right.
Christianity because you don't have a document written by Paul the year the first
right.
book from him was written. It's absurd. Most people don't write something down instantly. The reason they're called memoirs is because they're written after you have a chance to reflect on your life or experiences
exactly.
in it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then with hindsight, you know, even Joseph Smith with the first vision, you know, it's obvious that as he grew older and grew more in the gospel, he had additional insights to the first vision that he wouldn't have had when he was a young man. And that's one of the things, you know, like I said, we have to understand that these are real people with real lives, just like the rest of us, and they've been, you know, given revelations about important things, but that doesn't take away their humanity. And so, like I said, these principles in my book are designed to help people that are not only struggling, but to hopefully inoculate the average member so that they can expand their worldviews before they start stumbling upon things that might seem troubling.
There really are answers to all the criticisms about the church and its history.
Correct.
And some of its things that are purported to be doctrines.
Exactly.
We have just about a minute left before our break, and on the other side of our break, I want to get into some of the details of your book. But in the next 30 seconds or so, tell people who may just be joining us about your book and what its purpose is once again.
Yeah, Shaken Faith Syndrome. The book is designed to help people who are struggling with their testimonies, or help the average member expand and inoculate their testimony, so when they are confronted with critical material, it doesn't shatter their faith.
Fabulous. When we come back, we'll tell you where you can get a copy, and we'll talk more about some of the specifics in the book. I'm talking with Mike Ash, a longtime contributor of FAIR, who's written a book called Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. And with me today in studio is Michael Ash. He's written a book called Shaken Faith Syndrome. Its subtitle is Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. And where can somebody get one?
Right now, in fact, hopefully by the time this is broadcast, it's available in Deseret Bookstores. It's available on Amazon, and it's available at the FAIR bookstore, FAIRLDS.org bookstore.
Now, somebody is going to look for that somewhere around 8th South and 30. I'm kidding. Tell somebody what you mean by the FAIR Bookstore.
The FAIR stands for Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, and apologetics means defending one's beliefs. It doesn't mean to apologize. And basically, FAIR is a international nonprofit volunteer organization made up of members of the church who contribute to answering questions that challenge the church and producing material. As far we have DVDs, YouTube videos, conferences, a wiki, and books, this being one of them.
So if somebody goes on the internet to fairlds.org, mm-hmm. they can find your book.
That's correct. There's a bookstore link on there, plus tons of resources for answering questions.
fairlds.org. And I would second that. FAIR has some fabulous resources for responding to criticisms about the church. And if somehow you have a question that they have never answered, you can ask, and they have a panel of scholars who will check into it and give you a response.
Correct. Yeah, we have an Ask the Apologist link, and you just click on it and give us your question, and somebody will get back to you. Usually several people will get back to you.
Tell us about some of the specifics in your book. For somebody who's saying, well, this sounds like a cool book, what am I going to be in for when I actually find it? What will I see within the pages? Let us know.
Well, the first half of the book is broken down, as I mentioned earlier, into basic principles. Everything from the struggles that somebody might go through intellectually and even emotionally when they find challenging questions, to learning how to change in our paradigm, our worldviews, understanding scholarship, science, and even prophets and scriptures in a way that makes sense from a modern perspective and enlarges our view to make it more real. And the problem that I find a huge majority of the time with people that struggle with their testimonies is not because they're dumb or sinful or any of these other things. It's because they have a very black and white mode of thinking about things. And that's many times natural. It's how we're raised and how we tend to look at things from a natural point of view. But we have to expand that. The second half of the book deals with specifics such as Book of Mormon witnesses, anachronisms, like things that, metallurgy and horses in the Book of Mormon, or wheels, things that critics say weren't there, Book of Mormon geography, DNA, the Book of Abraham. I talk about that in there, plural marriage, the first vision. And I added a brand new chapter about race issues in the church, blacks and the priesthood. The second edition is almost 60 pages longer than the previous edition, and a little bit smaller print as well to squeeze all the new stuff in. And the first book had a lot of information, but as I continue to read and find more information, I put a lot of that in the book.
And it's a fabulous book. If somebody has, I hate to say it this way, but I will anyway, one of the more ordinary questions. I mean, there is no ordinary question if it's a crisis for you or your faith, but there are questions that tend, as you know from being on FAIR for so many years, that tend to come up over and over and over and over and over and over again, and they're new to the person who is seeing them for the first time, but they've been looked into and responded to many, many times, and you have all of those and more in this book, and I think that the need for that is fabulous.
Thanks. Yeah, I've tried to include all the primary things that we run into frequently. Plus, another nice thing about this edition is we have a really wonderful index in the back. So if you have this just as a reference tool, hopefully, I hope that the first part people will read from front to back. The second half is more of a reference tool if you have specific issues, but the index really should help out in locating answers to your questions.
What should somebody do if they personally have a crisis with their faith, or what would you tell somebody who knows a family member or a friend who does? I guess first they get your book and then. But what are some of the strategies that you talk about here?
Well, and I guess it depends on whether it's the person themselves with a strategy or a family member. But either way, the first probably step is to maybe step back from the problems and, like I said, try to take an open-minded view, because the biggest problem that most people have is when they read these things, they feel they're hurt. They feel like they've been deceived, that the church has lied to them. That's one of the most common arguments. Why didn't I know about this kind of stuff? And the church is the curriculum of the church is designed to help bring us closer to God. And so it's not a historical class when we go to Sunday school, even though there's bits and pieces in there. And so we have to step away and say, okay, these issues are out here. How do they fit within a framework that still accepts Joseph Smith as a prophet, still accepts Jesus as the Christ, and still accepts the Book of Mormon as scripture? And if we really want to know if those fit within a framework of what we've believed for all these years, that's where hopefully these answers can show that these things still make sense. We don't have to jettison our beliefs because we have found challenging issues. Many, many people are aware of these issues, been aware of them for years, and they haven't given up their faith over them.
That is so true. You're never going to be a Catholic and show up for Mass and have somebody say, okay, if you want to take a class that goes through all of the problems of Catholicism, you know, here's where you can sign up. You're never going to go to a Baptist service and have them have Sunday school curriculum that describes all of the problems and possible answers. And you're never going to see the church go from a four-year gospel doctrine rotation to a fifth one, and the fifth year is, oh, here are what the critics say and how to respond to them. It's not going to happen. But there are answers, and this is a great place to go. And so if you have a problem, keep an open mind. Believe that there is an answer out there, because there really is, and take the time to try to find some good resource that will respond. And that's usually going to be from a faithful point of view. I have some people who say, well, how can I trust you? You're like a member of the church, you know, and you're going to be all skewed and wrong. And I say, well, so that means you'd go to the KKK to find out about black history, or right. You would go to the Nazis to find out about Jews and Jewish culture and religion. You know, you want to go to the faith itself and its defenders to find out what they really believe. That's the appropriate thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, it's like saying that an American couldn't write a history book about America because they're American. You know, that. Everybody has biases. That's just going to be natural. Critics have biases as well. So it's not like all of a sudden they're objective. We have to be able to analyze this information from a perspective that is not necessarily going to be hostile right away. If we want to look at this objectively, if you've read information that's startling, we'll read some information that approaches it from a faithful perspective.
There's usually a faulty premise or some unstated, inaccurate assumptions that are underlying a comment or a bias or skewed information. There's always a reason why a critic can come up with something that sounds plausible.
Right, exactly.
Well, we are out of time, but Michael, thank you for joining us and talking about your book, Shaken Faith Syndrome, published by FAIR, available at the fairlds.org website, amazon.com. And if you want a hard copy from a place that doesn't have anything to do with the internet, go into Deseret Books.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.